Okay, good evening, everybody. And as just mentioned right before, we are Zeis Chanukah, the last day of Chanukah, the last night of Chanukah. Actually, it's not a Chanukah show this week, but just say that that the Sfarim bring down, you know, especially the Chassidic Sfarim are in particular, are all talking about the very powerful opportunity, not only is the end of the tshuva process, according to Bnei Yisachar and others, that started in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, that ends now in Zeis Chanukah. It's the last day of Chanukah, which is the last Yom Tif for Klal Yisrael in the Galus, which is a time of tremendous chizuk, understanding of bitachon and in faith. But it also, even the Vilna Gaon, it's amazing, the Vilna Gaon on Tikkuni Zohar, it's a lesser known Vilna Gaon, he compares Zeis Chanukah to Yom Kippur. So it's certainly auspicious for all of us to be learning Torah in general on Chanukah, and in particular on Zeis Chanukah. And just, you know, it's something, if a person has something they need, something they want, it's an extra night, which is a good opportunity to say Tehillim or to daven, and things of the sort, not to squander the opportunity. It's opportunity because whenever you're close to Hashem, whenever it's auspicious, it's certainly a good chance to make our requests and our asks and to learn Torah and to do our best. We have the tide going with us. So tonight, actually, we're going to learn, I was just looking this over earlier today. This is a pretty intense one tonight. It's going to be a little hardcore, but I think we can handle it. I was telling somebody, they met someone on a plane, they're asking advice, a Jew, living in a very far out part of Illinois, how to bring them closer to the Yiddishkeit and Torah. They said, Chanukah is such a great time, because Chanukah is positive, it's a light, the messaging behind Chanukah is very serious, obviously, about keeping Torah mitzvahs, but on a superficial level, and even on a deep level, Chanukah is a very welcoming Yom Tov, a very welcoming holiday, chance to bring people in. It's actually, at some level, unfortunate. The most attended Jewish thing is Yom Kippur. And Yom Kippur, I love Yom Kippur, and it's the happiest day of the year. But if you don't know anything about Yiddishkeit, you know why you're fasting, why people are sitting in shul all day, it could be a burden, chas v'shalom, if you're not fortunate enough to understand it. And Chanukah really is this opportunity. This type of thing we'll learn today is a Yom Kippur topic, which means for you and I, it's a great thing. That's the happiest of the year. I wouldn't say the first year I give to somebody to talk about Shabbos is this year, because it's a little bit intense. Why is it intense? Because tonight he's going to talk about Omer Lefnei Melech, being in front of Hashem. What does it mean when you're in front of the king? Now, when you're in front of the king, we've talked about length, opportunity to daven, get close, have a short shkina, but also is responsibility. There is also, the duty of responsibility is much, much higher in the king's presence. And that's our topic tonight. Prati hilcha Shabbos, we talk about the halachas of Shabbos. It's spread over all of the different things that we would do when we go in. And not only that, literally everything, all our movements, what we do, what we touch, what we pick up, is affected by the laws of Shabbos. Right now, Chanukah, most of the day of Chanukah, certainly, you know, Kedav, as I mentioned, and you can think about it, but you know, you can drive, you can walk, you can wash your dishes, you can do whatever you want. Right? You know, Davin's a little bit more longer, Shachar's time. But that's it. You know, most of Chanukah is a regular day. Every second on Shabbos, in theory, you need to know what you're touching, what you're moving, what acts you're doing, how you're eating. Could you cook? Obviously, you can't. All that type of stuff is pertinent and needs, therefore, a tremendous amount of zehiras, of carefulness, not to chas v'shalom mechal Shabbos, not to chas v'shalom desecrate the Shabbos. Hadavar murgash moed, in particular, it's emphasized with the laws of muksa. I kedi iser toto, I feel kli shemachta leheter. You can't even take a kli, I can't take a pen when I'm holding right now, but you can't take something which is permissible and just move around for no reason. Shalom Tzarech. Now, if it bothers you, if you need it, of course, it's permissible. Which means everything you move on Shabbos, there has to be a rhyme and a reason, is permissible or forbidden. But Tzarech Shmira Mamash, you gotta watch your hand there, you gotta watch your hands. Don't forget about them. Shebehezek das kal, yesh kvar sekana gudoyla. If you are just forget it Shabbos, you'll end up moving and touching and playing with things you should not do and desecrate the Shabbos. The Kurish of Alel Shabbos. For example, let's give me an example. Friday night, you need something, something in an aron, in a desk or in a cabinet, in a room which is dark. So it's Friday night, can't turn on the lights. And you need something in a yachal halakadei, you can't turn on the lights to find what you need. Ma'oi, so what does a person very often do? The chabit starts moving, he opens the cabinet or the drawer, and he starts playing with his hands. The guy, he's looking for whatever he needs. All of a sudden, he feels he picked up the pen, he picked up the recorder, he picked up something which is muksa. I forgot, he didn't think he put it there, and all of a sudden, he drops it like a snake bit him. Veshuv, and then he puts his hand back in there the second time and on the other side and starts looking around like there's no muksa the first time. Says Rav Pinkus, the second time you do that, it's mamish poishea b'chilul Shabbos. It's a person who is wantonly negligent in the chilul Shabbos. You just move around with your hands. Because on Shabbos, we'll elaborate in a moment, you have to be careful what you touch and what you move. But that, you should just know, when he says poishea, somebody who's willfully negligent, is different than Mazed. Mazed is doing an act on purpose. Mazed who misha oisa davar iser kashayodeo bashas maisish is a iser. Right? You know, person, God forbid, smokes. Smoking is an avera during the week. But certainly a bigger avera on Shabbos. So the guy goes and smokes a puff. The guy learned in yeshiva. He knows darn well he can't smoke. Right? He knows exactly. It's totally forbidden that it's aser to smoke. Right, so it's aser. Ava mishenichsha with our verb is shaygei. Shaygei is if you forgot, you were thinking, you know, you totally forgot it was Shabbos, you totally forgot that this thing was forbidden, you totally forgot, or you never knew, that's shaygei. V'achak shuv kolo adar pav shenis, enachinami de'en nekramesis. Let's say you did something by mistake. You knew it was forbidden, but you forgot it was Shabbos, so you didn't realize it was a mistake. First time is a mistake, the second time it's negligence. Negligence means you were not careful enough, and that's why you made this mistake. After you saw the first time that you can mess up, what you should have done is been so much more careful that you don't make the mistake again. Actually, the Talmud says in Maseches Beitzah, by an Erev Tavshilin. It's a famous Gemara, very famous Gemara. We know the Erev Tavshilin, if Friday goes into Shabbos, if Yom Tov goes into Shabbos, in order to cook on Yom Tov for Shabbos, you need an Erev Tavshilin. So the Gemara says, Hosami, there was a blind person, Tav Mesader Masnisa Kame Demar Shmo, Chaze Davi Atzev. He's doing this for Shmo, so he says, why are you sad? He said, I didn't do an Erev Tavshilin. Don't worry, you're an Erev Tavshilin. I'm the Rav of the city. Rav Shmuel was a Rosh Hashiva and the Rav of Nahar Dah, city in Babylonia. He says, you can rely on me. When I do the Erev, I have in mind that. Now, when I was Rav for San Jose 13 years, I would always get someone to come to me. Who did you ever do it for me? You ever did it? No? David Racco very often was my guy because he's down the block from me. I'd ask him to come over. He would pick up the matzah and the egg, or the bread and the egg if it was sukkahs, and do a, I usually didn't use a piece of chicken, and do a kinyan for the city. And when I would do an Erev Tavshilin, I'd do it for myself and for anybody who forgets in the city. So therefore, they have Erev Tavshilin, and that's based on this Gemara. The second year, Shmuel saw him again. I'm like, why are you sad? He said, I forgot to make the Erev Tavshilin second time. So, Amalei, the lowest Sivir of Tavshilim, this time you also forgot to get the Rosh Hashanah? Poshaya at Lekulam, you're negligent. And for everybody, Lekulam is Shai, my Erev Tavshilim works for other people who forgot, but not for you. It is my Erev Tavshilim that I did works for the forgetful people. At one time you get some leeway. You're just wantonly negligent, that doesn't work. And Rashi says, Shein daiti al mezidim. When I do an Erev Tavshilim for the city, I don't want people who don't care and they're doing what's wrong anyways. Or I don't have people who are payishim or definitely negligent and don't care that Chazal say do an Erev Tavshilim. And thus, we can explain this to Pinkus. The first time it's a shoygig, it's a mistake. About in Zekara upon Sefes, the Tzveitim mole, the second time. Shana Ba, second year. That's not forgetting. That's not a mistake. That's negligence. V'nikra enoch, and the way the Gemara says it, Rashi says it, is enoch chara l'davrei chachamim. You're not scared. You're not scared of chara l'davrei chachamim. L'nyanenu imigashas b'yaldo. A person's, careful. V'lo ala b'daito. Shiyitko b'davr muksa. In kvar kara lo b'avar mikra kazet. Then you are a Poshea. Umikan Toichacha Megula Mishiragel Lichsois Saparnayat Spesik. This is an example. People bite their nails. Now, they have a terrible habit for many years to bite your nails in the weekday. Guy bites his nails and now it's Shabbos. He's going to end up, you bite your nails on Shabbos, you're breaking Shabbos. Says he rationalizes that really it's I don't mean to, it's just a very bad habit. But emes, right? The truth is when you do it a second time, it's a pashea and you're negligent. And not only that, you're very negligent because if you know you have this terrible habit which you should end, you should be that much more careful. Because you know you have this bad habit. You know you're doing this. And you know it's breaking the Shabbos mamash if you do that. So on the contrary, you have to be that much more careful that it doesn't happen. Marshal the Madam Adonai. I'll give you an example. This guy's driving a car. He smashes into a person and hits them. Not like New Orleans and Machmanis. You see this last night. The people, it's crazy. I hope people wake up. Person smashes it into a person, right? Well, mom, he gets on driving, and he smashed another guy. First, he knocked the guy, he's in the hospital, and he drives a few minutes later, he kicks another guy in the hospital. Someone screams at him, why aren't you careful? And he says, he excuses himself. He says, what am I supposed to do? My glasses broke, and I can't see anything. So, same thing, he says. If you can't be careful, you have to tie your hands up. You're driving a car, you're going to kill somebody, right? How is it going to say, I'm used to biting my nails, I don't have to worry about Chilal Shabbos? Then Yoimer Ha'oimer, Eina Doimer, if you want to go ahead and say, Eina Doimer Ha'moshal in Himshal, Shalidek Sisas Tziparnayin, Adayin Lo Haragnu Adam. If you personally, say, I can't. You tell me, guy driving his glasses, killing somebody. You're just biting your nails. I'll tell you what. Shabbos is even more chamor at some level. Shirotzeach. Again, he's not really comparing this, but on a shamayim level, if you murder somebody, manslaughter somebody, it's one death penalty. But the breaking Shabbos purposefully is actually a higher punishment. Skila, not tziyach. And so, at some level, Shabbos is more stringent. Even toimer aval. Jesus, so then you're saying to me, but biting your nails is without, if you take a scissor and you cut your nails with a scissor, that's a Torah prohibition of Giziza. But if you just bite your nails, right, that is Dirabanan. He says that's also not a rationalization, because we know that some level rabbinic laws are more stringent as Rabbeinu Yonah says in Shari Tshuva. He's the Rabbeinu Yonah against the repentance. But a halal chaladas, you should know. Why is a person who breaks the words of the Talmudic sages of the Sanhedrin chay misa? Yoisur chamer, but a person who breaks a positive negative mitzvah, V'zeh pesha that I'll explain it to you. Ki ha'oivah levichamim, ashem lo libo lasas kein, ki tako metzos me'enav, lo yimei eskabri yitzolav, avam ki techiyena v'emras or the v'emim. Do you not appreciate when Hashem said Chazal, Rabbi Akiva, Hillel, Rabbi Chaman Zakkai, Shammai, all of the Chachamim, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Rabbi Meir Balanes, you don't have emunah in Chazal, v'lo mashu po'o gezerasam. You don't care to keep them. You're over the Chachamim, you know, if y'ar v'yatzar, ki asil yitzulach do'i, it's not getting yitzahara, you just were not machshiv, you didn't respect the words of the sages. Al-keim mishpat, therefore, such a person's punishment is kibol davar echa mikol devrei matovim v'hu ka'omer nitnatkes v'sasemu. It's like you're totally broken off. You have no connection to Torah Shabbat Peto, the sages. And also, number two, is you're very rachuk from tshuva. If a person breaks Shabbos, he's in Yom Kippur, he's chametz on Pesach, just the tshuva. And this, okay, rabbinic, Asha'in, Adavar Chamer, it's not so serious, Rabbi, come on. I just ate a cheeseburger, it wasn't meat, it was chicken. It was a chicken cheeseburger. It wasn't biblical, it wasn't in a Torah. And therefore, it's not so serious in your eye. Here's another example of a person that's peeling skin, right? It's also the same, you could be over a Torah person, Hashem. And he says, people, you know, they're not careful because they're not watching their hands, and not, so it could be only rabbinic, I'm not using a kli, I'm just wiping my head, right, the person. So all of these, v'chazina mekonech t'leol, the tzura Torah, argalana b'shor Shabbos Kish, that our hands, and he's picking our hands for this example, but really our rest of our body, it can't be like the weekday. On Shabbos, when we're in front of Hashem, when we're in front of the King, we have to be careful about our hands, yadayim maskonis, and Shabbos, or we have to be extra vigilant to watch what we do, what we touch, what we move, right? What we pulling, scratching, you know, our skin off, obviously, if that person has a thing. He says, I'll give you an example. There's a famous in Seder Adoros, it brings on the exilark, the Reish Galusa, Bostonai. Bostonai was the head of the Babylonian community. We know that in Babylonia, for hundreds of years, till the 11th century, the lay leader was the Reish Galusa, which we mentioned in Yukum Purkan. On every Shabbos, it's still mentioned, by the way. In one of my lectures on Jewish history, if I don't think Torah, I talk about Babylonian Jewry and the rise of Islam. And there I talk about at length about the Reish Galusa. So one of the most famous Reish Galusa families was Bostonai. And the Sefer Seder Goinim says that they were from Zerah David, they came in the house of David. And so they had royal blood also. So the Maza, Rabbi Boston was a Rosh Gala, says Exlar, Bashabali saw Ayado, Asher Chaisen based David, Bechais Motzuras as well. On the emblem of the house of the Exlar, the house of the Rosh Gala, there's a bug type thing on the emblem of David, the signature of the house of David. But also some big bug. Like, what in the world is big bug? It's not like a football team. They have, like, you know, whatever their helmets over here. Why is there a bug on the symbol, on the signal of, on the sign of Boston? And so basically, he told the funny thing, that when Boston was with the family, he was younger than the Torah, Mishalach HaChachmatuna, and he told the Persian king, that he was a tremendous Torah scholar, very trustworthy. So he said, Exlark Shmerzlark, I'll take him and watch over me. And he took him and he wanted to be like a security guard for him. Like, oh, his in the old days, by the way, when we get to next week's Parsha, actually, this did it, tell you, it was last week's Parsha, this week's Parsha, that Yosef becomes the viceroy of Egypt. How did he end up there? Because the whole dream of the Saramashk, the person in charge of the royal drinks, and the person in charge of the royal bread. The top people were like, you gave the king food. That was serious responsibility, right? Serious responsibility. Why? Because you don't have to look at too much ancient history. They poisoned the kings. That's how the best way to get rid of a king or a Caesar you didn't like was to poison them. So you better be the most trustworthy person to be that person cooking the food or bringing the wine. And the guy next to the king, the guy around the king, was always his trusted advisor. So he brings this Bostonite there. And he tells him to watch over him. And he watches, and all of they all liked him. Fine. One day, some kind of bug, went on his head. Actually, that's like from a pasuk in Shir Hashirim, Song of Songs. Basically, some kind of big bug goes on the forehead of the king of Persia. Vatach oso, and it bit him. Velo ivricho, and he rested on the head and bit him. And some blood came on the king's head from this bug. As the king looks to Exilark, at his boss, says, "What are you doing?" He says, "What happened? I'm bleeding." He said, "Oh, a bugger just bit you." So he says, "Why didn't you brush it off my head? You're in charge of watching over me." So this is what happened. So Boston's family put on the Reish Galus's flag and the Exiles flag. That story was embedded in them. When this young Boston was appointed to be by the Persian king, he's all upset that he got bit by some kind of bug, mosquito, whatever it may have been, and he bled just a little bit. That the king was upset you didn't have the vigilance to get the bug away, and he said it was a musaf lehas kmiyis horanu mikesem alchiyosenu v'chayelam abehechli hamelach. Right, we ourselves who come from the house of David and we're the head of the Jewish people, but we're now in Persia. So when we go to the Persian king, it's lola daber. It's not for joking around. It's not to whatever. We have to be on our best behavior, right? And therefore, when they say the Reish Galusa, it's a reminder. We see this bug, that even a bug, right? By the way, goes back to Miketz, when the Sarah Mashkin, a fly was found in the drink. You have to be very careful in front of the king. You can't just be in front of a king and lower your guard. Mamazah b'chvoy malchstar. That means we can see even a human king. In the old days, the Persia had real kings. You don't pick your hand up. You don't move. You have to be in front of the king. There's a standard. You're in front of the king. Well, that's in front of some human king who defecates and his stomach aches and headaches and runny noses and emotions and sad. So we who are in front of Melech Malchim of Hashem, omnipotent, all perfect Hashem on Shabbos. We have to be careful. Everything what we're doing on Shabbos is following what Hashem's laws are. Shabbos, we're in front of the king. He says, in Megillas Esther, we find in Achashverosh's servants, and Belshazzar's, where Ani v'Nebuchadnezzar, as we look at Daniel and other books, are called Sarisi HaMelech. The language for the servants of the kings are Sarisi. There are multiple commentaries that say Saris is a eunuch, someone who's castrated. Why did the kings in the old days castrate his male servants? So if you're in front of the king, it has to be your life. If you were a servant in Nebuchadnezzar or Achashverosh, it's your life. If you have a house or a family, and you're thinking about your kids, you're thinking about your wife, and you're not focused on the king. Well, Kemet Sar says, in those days, they would actually castrate these people in Nebuch. Their whole life, their whole dedication and devotion in the house of Nebuchadnezzar, the house of Achashverosh, was to serve the king. He says, I want to tell you something that I once heard, not a long time ago, actually now it's a long time ago, because the same has been put out 25 years ago, 30 years ago, but I heard the head of a school in the United States. Mashek Bido, Afil Bador, you can just see, even in 30 years ago, even in a country where there's no longer this kind of awe and reverence and fear of a king, Pam Omud, Nasi Omedin, one time this head of school said that the president of the United States is coming to that school. Now, we know that they sent the Secret Service, sent all kinds of people, the media people, before the visit. Right? I remember when Trump, when he was going in October, he made a run to get New York City, and he actually did way better than people ever imagined, and he did way better in New Jersey, and actually, and the Orthodox vote was actually very had swayed a lot of those elections much closer than they would have been otherwise. So President Trump was stopping by Williamsburg, okay. He had a couple of stops, and he's going to a famous, I think, restaurant owned by Chassid Shiyid. That was one of his stops in Williamsburg. And before he got there, a couple few days before, they went to the store. The Sikh servants would come that day also. They went to where the president should stand, where the president should go. How's it going to work? This is choreographed. They don't just walk into anywhere. It was planned where it would go, who would speak to, how it would be. Lamais, what happened at the end is that the owner of the store's father died that day, and then didn't go. He didn't go because the guy went to Shiva, was that day, the funeral. So, but the point is so this school also, they had people visit, but even before the Secret Service, besides the security apparatus, they came in to make sure that when the President of the United States came to the school, everything was going to go right. The Darsh Laharin, and one of the things they asked this principal, this Jewish school, is take down all of the pictures from the walls. When you walk in, they had pictures of Rebbes and Rosh Hashivas and rabbis and whatever, take the pictures down. And in the hall where the president is going to speak, change the drapes. Okay, they don't have drapes, vinyl, whatever, but they had like some kind of colorful whatever they had, and they said, you just put one simple cover, because if it's all colorful, then when the president is there, people who are coming special to hear the president will be looking at the ambiance of the room and not focusing on the president. And when the president comes to the room, the focus should be on the president of the United States of America. And Matarehi should be noticed when the king is there, or in that case the president, everyone should be focused on the president, and that's it. Says Rav Pinkus, Uma Niflayim. Mashalim, and how appropriate that is for Shabbos. In Shabbos, we are in front of Hashem. We're in front of the King. And even we're eating and drinking and enjoying the Shabbos, it's to serve the King. We cannot lose focus on Shabbos. Our focus, and therefore, the halachas, how we touch, what we learn, actually, I said this, I gave a shiur, and I actually recorded it on Think Torah, about the Chavetz Chaim's Hakdama, introduction to Chelek Gimel, which on Mishnah Berurah, which is the laws of Shabbos. And he basically says over there, if you don't learn the laws of Shabbos, you're going to desecrate the Shabbos, you're going to break the Shabbos. And it's important that we learn the laws of Shabbos. Whatever love we are, the person should ask how to do it the best possible way, so that we're in front of Hashem with all of the bracha and all of the blessing, all of the opportunity, all of the closeness, all of the purpose of life. We don't blow it by not appreciating and not standing up to responsibility. Right? It's always Chanukah, I said this is a little strong tonight, and it is a little strong, but it's very important. But today's Chanukah, really, for us, as we actually next week we'll be doing Hilcha Shabbos, which is a little bit of just to finish this topic off. But so this Hanukkah really is an opportunity for the positivity of it, to get that emunah and that bitachon. But at the end of the day, we've been talking about Shabbos a lot, the kedusha, the holiness, the joy, the opportunity. I once heard Rabbi Akiva Tatz, who is a prominent educator, first was in Israel, wrote a few books, and now is in London for 25 years or so, and spreading the light of Torah. He said he gave a shiur on the beautiful topics of Shabbos, the beautiful ideas of Shabbos, have a packed crowd. Then he wants to give the laws and the halachas of Shabbos, and there's only a few people that come. So I'm telling our crowd over here, we're not doing Hilcha Shabbos, but it behooves all of us that if you really want to have Shabbos, and we really understand that we're in front of Melech Malchei HaMalchim, King of Kings Hashem, then we got to know the laws of Shabbos, we got to have appreciation of that opportunity and the responsibility of it. Wishing everyone a very freilicha, zayis Chanukah, and a good Shabbos, and mirtz Hashem. We're going to resume next week.